The Cubs now have a splitter-heavy pitching staff.
And I think the Cubs might also be a front-runner in usage across the entire league.
Why this pitch? Why is it so effective?
The splitter has been the best pitch in baseball at generating swing and a miss.
Which pitchers have mastered it?
It's going to be his bread-and-butter pitch.
And who's still perfecting it?
Does adding another pitch help or does it hurt?
Player development expert Lance Brozowski of Marquee is here to talk about this exact subject for the Chicago Cubs.
What a splitter allows you to do is kill spin on the ball. And therefore, the pitch drops more.
And do yourself a favor, stay till the end because Lance has a very special bonus for you.
The splitter. It seems like it is kind of the king of 2024 here, and there's a number of Cubs that are throwing this pitch. So why don't we talk about this pitch and why it's so important here in 24?
Yeah, I think the simple way to put it is that all pitchers probably want to get better. And the splitter for a while has been the best pitch in baseball at developing or generating swing and a miss and also limiting barrels. And if you're a pitcher and you're trying to figure out how to get better, it probably seems like a good idea to throw that pitch as much as possible. And it's just, I think, been more of a limitation around pitching development and how we stigmatize the pitch in the United States as opposed to abroad that maybe has limited coaches at lower levels willing to give younger pitchers the pitch. But I think now we're getting to the point, we've seen it slowly increase over the last couple of years in terms of league-wide usage. It sat at about 2.2% last season, which has steadily increased in each of the last two or three seasons. This year, though, I think we're going to get that really pushing up. And I think that's a byproduct of guys like Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Shota Imanaga coming over. But I also think it's a byproduct of what we're talking about with the Cubs. There's other guys in organizations, especially on the Cubs, that are developing this pitch. And I think the Cubs might also be a front runner in usage across the entire league. So my prediction for the season is that this might get up to like 5% usage, which is more than a doubling of the usage of the offering, which would be really, really substantial. And I think I'm most curious about whether the success of the pitch continues going forward.
So really quick, before we get into which players, which pitchers on the Cubs are using this and how they're using it, I would like to know from last year, it seemed like the sweeper was the hot topic. Do you feel like the Cubs are getting away from that, or is this just an added tool into a lot of their pitchers' arsenal?
Yeah, it's a great point. It's funny. I actually asked Craig Counsell about this in a media scrum down in Arizona, and I asked him, like, in the age of sweepers and everything, where does he think the game is going? And I think he gave a really salient answer. He said essentially that he, like, pointed to the backfields, and he was like, guys over there are always going to come up. You can't tell them to not do something that could potentially make their career. So they're always going to be trying to develop the next big thing. And I think it just illustrates how quickly trends turn in baseball, so to speak, where one year you have the sweeper, which is still a really effective offering. I think the sweeper's still here. It's just not as popular, right? So it's not as interesting to talk about the sweeper. It's more interesting to talk about what's coming next, which, again, I think is the splitter in terms of general usage of the offering.
Shota Imanaga on the team, and it was interesting to me, a lot of people talking about the splitter, but when you look at his scouting report, it looked like his third or fourth best pitch. Fastball and slider seem to be a little bit more up there. But how is Shota going to use this pitch here in 2024?
Yeah, I think we saw a pretty good illustration of that in his recent or the spring training start against the Athletics, which I think really people started to jump on and be like, okay, like maybe there's a chance he's really good. Now, I'll say that the Athletics weren't really great last year versus forcing fastballs, but the splitter was the more interesting thing to me in that outing. I know he got a ton of swing and miss on his fastball up. A's couldn't do anything with it. But to me, that didn't really matter too much. What I was more interested in how the splitter was playing off it. He used it early count, which I thought was pretty fascinating. He used it a little when he was behind in the count as well, which is naturally a count where pitchers increase their forcing fastball usage. It's also the reason why forcing fastballs most of the time allow a lot of damage. But I think it's going to be, I think, his bread and butter pitch. I know we saw it as kind of like the third or fourth offering overseas, but to me, that's his best offering aside from the fastball, his best secondary pitch. And as a byproduct of that, I expect the usage of that offering to be over 25%. I think he's going to use it to either handedness. It's going to be really effective versus right-handed hitters specifically. A lot of the time you're concerned about, okay, does this lefty have a weapon to get right-handed hitters out? And this splitter is going to be that for Shota.
I can't think of a lefty who's had a splitter that's been really good. Can you?
It's a great point. This was brought up by another individual from, I think, CBS Sports. He was messaging me and he was wondering why. And it's a great question as to why. The funny thing that actually came to mind for me is that in this era of like pitch classification, sometimes if a guy calls the pitch they're throwing that they hold like a splitter, a changeup, if you go to like Baseball Savant, they'll just say it's a changeup. So the name that actually jumps to mind for me is Shane McClanahan from the Rays, who's currently down with Tommy John. He actually throws the splitter. He just calls it a changeup. If you've ever Googled like his grip or anything, you see it's he's splitting the grip of the pitch. It's a splitter. It's just called a changeup. So I think what we might run into is some issues with classification around it. But the reality is, yeah, there's not a lot of guys that throw it as a left-handed pitcher. And I think that's a byproduct, again, of just how we operate in lower levels domestically, where if you're a lefty, you're taught a changeup to be really early in development because you need something, again, for right-handed hitters. It's just domestically, we prefer teaching changeups for whatever reason. Maybe we think they cause less injury, et cetera. And over in Japan, they just teach splitters. Like the usage of left-handed splitters and over in Japan was upwards of 10%, 15%. So it's really just, I think, a teaching thing where here we teach changeups to lefties. That's why you see a guy like Jordan Wicks with a nasty lefty changeup coming from Kansas State. And overseas, they just teach it differently. They just prefer to go to splitter.
One guy that you told me has added this to his repertoire is Daniel Palencia. And after seeing Daniel kind of experience some control issues, my first question is, hey, does adding another pitch kind of help or does it hurt? So talk about Daniel and him adding this pitch.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, to that point, I think that's a great concern. I think a lot of organizations, especially the Cubs, when they acquire pitchers, they really prefer like the simplicity approach. Mm-hmm. When Palencia came over from the Athletics, he was throwing, I think, four or five pitches based on the minor league data I have. And he came over and he threw like 75% fastball in his first 2 months as a minor league Cub, so to speak, which was really funny to me because you look at his Athletics distribution, it was all over the place. Wow. So I know the Cubs generally like that simplification idea. As to whether that actually creates improvements in command, I think is actually really up for debate. I think a lot of sharper coaches and organizations, and I think the Cubs are mixed in with this, which makes me really interested in being a fly on the wall in some of the conversations in the front office as to how they want to proceed with the development of certain arms, is that I think a lot of coaches just want guys to have more pitches, and regardless of whether they can control them, so to speak, again, because of the point that we don't really know if simplifying a repertoire then creates an improvement in command. If it doesn't, then the argument is you should probably just throw multiple pitches, put your sights, so to speak, down the center and let things break off in different directions and let that allow you to cover different parts of the zone. And for Palencia, I think that's a really good option, right? Because he's got the four-seam with some carry, throws that up, slider off it generally down away to either lefties or righties away from righties. And then the splitter, wrinkling that in, allows him to give him something going more so away from lefties and also inside to righties and inside and down. So I think that allows you to create a guy who's normally kind of two spots in the zone that pushes him into almost three spots in the zone. So I like it, even if we maybe aren't necessarily convinced he's commanding the ball at a plus level. So I'm pretty in on his splitter. The interesting thing we saw really early in spring, Carter Hawkins called a splinker, which is just hilarious that we're coming up with all these different variations of pitch names and stuff. But I think for the most part, what they're getting at there is there's different variations of splitters, right? There's the splitter where if you're not splitting it as much, what's happening is you're turning into almost more of a two-seam fastball. So a lot of two-seam fastballs have like finger separation that's somewhere around like here. But yeah, on the splinker, you're not wedging the ball in between your fingers. You're kind of just like resting it with a wider grip. And that, again, creates a little bit of spin kill, but still allows you to throw it really hard. So Palencia is in this camp, I think, where he's maybe fooling around with more of a true splitter, where he's like jamming it in between his fingers, really killing spin, and more of like what Jorán Duran from the Twins throws, which is a splinker. I'm really curious to see how this pitch manifests, whether he starts a triple A or is he up in the majors. Like that is kind of the, I'm really interested to see what happens there with this offering, but I think we might see some variation in the pitch for Palencia that I really like it as an unlock for him to help him out just from a pure throwing multiple pitches standpoint.
As long as he's not throwing the slutter, which I think you told me is a pitch, and I'm just like, did we think about the name before we put it out to the public?
I know. It's a great point.
All right. Hey, we were talking about Shota and a lefty splitter. Now, how about Drew Smyly? I was really excited to see this, but since being in spring training over at Arizona and now watching him in Cubs games live, it just seems like it's kind of sailing on him. It doesn't look like he has a good feel for it. Do you think that he's going to have enough command by this season to actually make that a weapon, or was it just going to be a failed test?
Yeah, it's a great point. I chatted with him in the clubhouse about this, actually, and kind of talked through his adventure at Driveline and what he did and what he worked on. And I think he'll get to the point where he's using it. I just think, again, like with any new pitch, like introducing a new pitch is going to take some time for the guy to get comfortable with it. And I think that's just happening with Smyly. The thing you'll see with Smyly is that if you look, everything he does is arm side. So he's a lefty. So that means moving right to left if you're watching him on a broadcast camera. He's really comfortable locating everything to his arm side, which is why he went to Driveline and kind of unveiled a sweeper to allow him to give him something against lefties. And also the splitter, which is really weird for him because he cuts it slightly. So the variation in the offering is kind of all over the place, but it gives him something that isn't purely arm side that kind of can just go down. Again, to that Palencia point of like, can you cover multiple parts of the zone? Smiley's made a career not doing that, right? At lower velocity. He's just got good command and he's really targeted on certain areas of the strike zone and it's allowed him to work. Again, there's various ways to get to a good productive major league pitcher for an extended period of time. Just kind of figuring out like what's optimal for a given guy. So I'm not entirely convinced out of the gate the usage on that's going to be high. But to me, if we look back at the end of 2024, I think it's something that we could see tick up, right? It's going to be, you know, maybe he uses it 2% of the time in April, and then it's 5% in May, 7% in June, July. Like that is kind of where I see the progression of it going.
All right. Well, we'll see what he does. Hector Neris throws a splitter, new pitcher for us. And we're going to be seeing a lot of new things because it's going to be our first look at him. But how does Neris use that splitter?
Yeah, this is his primary offering. I mean, it's the thing that allowed him to be a target for the Cubs in the offseason. Mm. I actually wonder how much they were like, let's just try to lay into the splitter idea a bit more. But I don't know, if I might be getting a little too deep. I think they just wanted an arm that works in the back end that could toggle between 7th, 8th, 9th, do leverage, match him up against lefties and righties. He's a pretty platoon neutral pitcher, which means he's good versus right-handed hitters and left-handed hitters. And that's partially because of the splitter. This is a pitch he's thrown for a really long time. It's been incredibly successful. And getting to the point about, you know, do injuries occur when you throw splitters? Neris has been one of the most used relievers over the last 3 or 4 seasons, and he's thrown a splitter more than 20% of the time each of these seasons. So, you know, there's always exceptions to rules, so to speak. But I think it's the bread and butter of Neris's mix. It's a really fun pitch to watch, and I'm excited to see him dominate with it in the season.
I know one name that we haven't mentioned yet, and I think we'd be doing everyone a disservice if we don't mention it. Mark Leiter. He's got one of the best splitters on the team. He turned into the lefty guy out of the bullpen, even though he's a righty last year. Do you think that Leiter will find a way to be able to help guys like Palencia, Smiley, maybe even giving Shota another look at how he throws his splitter? Do you see Leiter kind of almost taking a mentor type of role for these guys?
I can see that for sure. He's also a really sharp guy in conversations with him. He's one of the more, I think, cerebral guys in that bullpen and thinking about pitching. I mean, he's been around for a while. He's drudged through the minor leagues. He's that, I think, creates experience. And I think guys enjoy talking to pitchers who've been somewhat through, I don't want to say a struggle, but he's now established himself as a pretty legit bullpen option. And yeah, I think he's a really interesting piece for the Cubs in 2024 in terms of how he's used, because he's almost the guy that was in a lot of leverage spots last year, who maybe won't be in as many leverage spots this year just because there's more options. But again, I really think that splitter just allows him to be platoon neutral, good versus each handedness, and allows Council to use him in varying ways. Especially maybe when other guys are down, maybe they limit how many back-to-backs some of these relievers are throwing. Leiter, I think, is a guy who could kind of slot in, say, if Neris is throwing 2 days in a row. I think you can kind of take Leiter, and if you have that same situation where you wouldn't use Neris, you could probably just use a guy like MLJ. So yeah, I'm pretty interested in Leiter generally. He's also a smaller hand guy, which you always think of like splitters, you need big hands to wedge the ball in between. But it just gets to the point of like, you can get to splitters in a variety of ways. You know, it's not just that you need huge hands, although there is some implication on like how far you can split your fingers, et cetera. There's, again, always nuance. There's always almost exceptions to rules. And Leiter, I think, is a great exception to the rule that you have to have huge hands to throw a splitter.
Well, guys, we promised you that we were going to have a bonus, and we do. And you got to go check it out on Lance's YouTube channel. If you didn't know, Lance Brzozowski has an awesome YouTube channel, especially if you like to geek out on how the ball moves, all the numbers of baseball, and all of the unique metrics that not everyone is talking about on the national broadcast, right? And that's what's really fun about Lance's channel. But Lance, what is part two of this video? What are they going to learn about the splitter?
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the splitter. I also am going to talk about pitching development generally, and you know how in the age of velocity, what that has on implications of health. So I'm going to look at Keith Meister's recent statements that the sweeper and power changer are causing issues. I'm going to give kind of my take and perspective on that from talking to other pitchers and coaches around the league, and kind of just do a recap on like where we are in the state of velocity and making pitchers better, and maybe where we're going to, and it'll connect beautifully back to this piece.
Lance, thanks so much, man. Guys, go check out that second part, and appreciate you jumping on here, Mr. Brzozowski.
Always good to see you, man.